Okay. I loved what Terry shared right up front, because it really played to what I'm going to be talking about when he said, and I want to make sure I get this right, when he was talking about the inner man and how it is eternal. And we really started it before, but we're going to get into a series of who we are in Christ. I've been thinking about it. A friend of mine, I won't embarrass her name and say that it was Sarah, I guess I just blew that, didn't I? Made the comment to me that one of the things that she appreciated was hearing teaching, and that so often in other places where she's been, not really heard who we are in Christ, because it's so important. And it's the inner man that is perfect, that has been born again. That's who we really are. That's our identity. Okay? But first, if you didn't hear Terry's message from last week when he was talking about stewarding, I would encourage you to do that, because it fits right in to the messages when we were talking about humility versus pride and what we're going to start talking about today. I think that it is well worth for us to continually review our humility gauge to see if it's in the red or the green. The truth of the fact, the truth of the matter is Jesus was extremely humble. And that's who we're called to be. Because we're called to imitate him. We're called to be like him. I mean, obviously, we'll never be like God, and I understand that. But in what we're doing, it's like we're scratching the surface. It's like the worship this morning was absolutely amazing. But compared to what we're going to experience in heaven, it's like it's scratching the surface. And it won't end after 40 or 50 minutes. Jesus was extremely humble. And we want to strive to walk in humility. And he's given us everything we need to be able to walk in humility. I'm just going to adjust this a little bit. We have the Holy Spirit. We have mercy. We have grace. We've been saved. We have the ability to pray. We have the ability to get into his word and read it. We have the ability to fellowship one another and to speak in each other's lives. We have the ability to meditate upon who God is, to look at the cross and just gaze upon it and allow the Holy Spirit and Jesus to speak to our heart what it's all about. See, the truth of the matter is, God created us, and he created us in his image. And in doing so, he defined who we are. And one of those is that we're humble. That's our God-given nature. Now, the flesh doesn't like it. I readily admit that. Nor the world, nor Satan, the unholy three, as I call them. But we need to concentrate on who we really are and not who we aren't, or who we think we are, or who Satan tells us we are, or the world says you're supposed to be. And one of those is being proud. See, if we walk in pride, we'll say we're all this, or we're all that, or we can do this, or we can do that. But the truth of the matter, we can't do anything, including breathing, except by the grace of God. I mean, as you know, I had a heart attack on June 27th. And it was by the grace of God that the heart was beating up to then. And it was by the grace of God that the heart is still beating. He used a wonderful surgeon named Dr. Coates to put a piece of metal up there. Okay? While I was talking to him. I seem to remember one point he said, "Can you just be quiet?" which wasn't the first time, because the first surgery I had a spinal block, and I kept asking the guy questions, the surgeon questions, and finally he looked over at the anesthesiologist and I saw his head go like that, and after that I don't remember a thing. It was right after Reagan was shot, and I kept asking him questions if he was doing the same thing that Reagan had done to him, things like that, because I was a little loopy, okay? And I guess he'd get tired of me, and I was gone. So the question is, who are we in Christ? We really need to understand this. And so we're going to be talking about it for a while. And we won't touch on everything that Jesus says we are. But we need to understand. I don't know, I'm kind of guessing here, Irma, but the wonderful ministry you have, that it would be a little different if we all kind of knew who we were in Christ instead of who we think we are. God wants us to understand who we really are, what it really means to be a born-again believer, to have this intimacy with Him, to be a Jesus follower, to be a person who follows after the Holy Spirit. Not who the unholy three tell us we are. And I don't know if you've noticed, if you're not paying attention to national news and you're better off, but there's a spirit out there that's trying to tell us that we're somebody we're really not. Even too sadly, last night out in Portland, when they identified a person as a Trump follower, they shot him. We need to pray, folks. We need to pray. We need to listen to the Father, to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit. And know that what they're saying to us, that's the truth. Don't assume that we really know who we are. Tune into Him with all these things I talked about before. Because I believe that the early church really did understand who they were, really were in Christ. That's why you see the things in Acts 2:42 and 2:47 and the rest of Acts, the things that were happening. That's part of the reason. Yeah, there's also the sovereignty of God, but there's also the fact that they knew and they understood. They were special because God made them special. So who are we in Christ? We're going to look at six things today and more into the future. The first, we're a new creation. We're a new person. 2 Corinthians 5:17. I'm going to read it out of ESV and the NLT. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come. 2 Corinthians 5:17 out of the NLT. This means that anyone who belongs to Christ has become a new person. The old life is gone. A new life has begun. What's that mean? When you look at that word new, it means in the Strong's, it means newly made, recently made. And the creation means something created, formed, or found. See, we are a newly created, newly formed person. See, when we entered into our relationship with Jesus, we became something that we were not previously. When we were born again, something happened. The old passed away, the new came. We became something that we had not been. We became a follower of Jesus, which at that point in time meant that our life made a complete reversal. Talk about a paradigm shift. We went from someone that loved sin to someone that hated sin. I'm not talking about the flesh. I understand we still have the flesh. But who we are, the inner man that Terry was talking about. Because we radically, thoroughly, completely changed. And we need to grasp that, folks. We need to understand that. We need to understand that we have been morally changed, that we've been regenerated, that we are no longer the being that we once were before. We need to grasp this. We need to understand this. We're not part of the world. We're part of a different nation, part of a different group, part of a body of believers who have become our lifelines. It's okay to call somebody up and say, I'm struggling. Can you help me? You know, it's like that. You want to become a millionaire. You got lifelines. Well, we got more than three. We got three just with God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, and then all of our brothers and sisters. A body of believers that will support us, that will help us. Yeah, they're imperfect. And yeah, we have to work through those things sometimes. But we have to remember, they too are a new creation, created in the image of God. A body of believers who we can trust to speak into our hearts, that we can trust to walk with us, so that we can walk into our newness, so we can become more and more who we really are. Remember, that's what sanctification is. It's learning to walk out more and more who we really are. It's the exact opposite of who we once were. When we entered into our walk with Jesus, when we accepted Him as our Savior, when we gazed upon the cross and we knew that was the answer, we didn't have the answers within ourselves, we were radically changed. We passed from the righteousness like filthy rags, as it talks about in Isaiah 64:6, to become the righteousness of God, as it talks about in 2 Corinthians 5:21. What a change. It's indescribable. It's awesome. It's amazing. It's miraculous. And yet, we need to think about it. Don't think about the depressing things. Don't think about the things where we fail. Think about who we are in Christ. And then we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. See, once we had no relationship with God, and now we have the most intimate relationship with God through Jesus because of the cross. Once, we did nothing God would have us to do. Oh, we might have stumbled into it from time to time. But now, we have the ability to do everything God wants us to do. And now, within our heart of hearts, with the new heart it talks about in Ezekiel, we desire to do everything that God created us to do and to be everything that God created us to be. That's who we are. Even on those days when you say, no, I really... You may say you don't trust God at times, but the inner man still trusts Him. That's what the Holy Spirit leads us to do. See, once we walked in our own wisdom, but now we can walk in the wisdom of God. Moving on. An amazing, absolutely amazing verse is 1 Peter 2:9. And I'm again reading it out of the ESV and the NLT. But you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for His own possession, that you may proclaim the excellencies of Him who called you out of darkness into His marvelous light. And then the new NLT. But you are not like that, for you are a chosen people. You are a royal priest, a holy nation, God's very own possession. As a result, you can show others the goodness of God, for He called you out of the darkness into His wonderful light. See, in this verse, there's not one, two, three, but there's four different definitions of who we are. And they're cumulative. They add to the new creation. All these things we'll be looking at over the weeks ahead, they're all cumulative. We are all of these things. So the second one, we are a chosen race, or as it puts in the NLT, a chosen people. The Strong's word for chosen means we are selected. We are and that selection involves thoughtful and deliberate consideration. God went Yeah, I want you, Frank. I want you, Cheryl. I want all of you. I made that decision. See, he selected us. He made this conscious decision to choose us because he wanted us. See, what's the scripture say? He adopted us in Romans 8:15 NLT. So you have not received the spirit that makes you fearful slaves. Instead, you receive God's spirit when he adopted you as his own children. Now we call him Abba, Father. We were adopted. We were received into this glorious relationship with God because he wanted it. He wanted you. You're his son. You're his daughter. The third person we are, thing we are, is a royal priesthood. Royal. Strong's. We are called to royal dominion and clothed with royal dignity. Do you feel like that every day? Do you feel like you're royalty? Do you realize you're right up there with Queen Elizabeth? Actually, the truth is you're above her in royalty. Because you are part of a royalty that's higher than natural humans. You are part of royalty that is beyond something that was created by man. You are part of royalty that was created by our living God. We've been called to God's royalty. Not human. And the second part is priesthood. And the Strong says, to officiate as a priest, referring to all Christians who are said to offer spiritual sacrifices. We are priests and have the ability to minister to God. And you go, whoa, wait a second here. I'm a mere mortal. I'm a human. I can minister to God. I can bring joy to his heart. I can speak to him. I can crawl up on his lap and tell him how much I love to him and watch the big smile on his face. That can't be possible. It is. He created us to do that. See, Jesus is a priest. That's what it says in Zechariah 6:13, NIV. It is he who will build the temple of the Lord, and he will be clothed with majesty and will sit and rule on his throne, and he will be a priest on his throne, and there will be harmony between the two. See, Jesus is portrayed prophetically as a royal priest. Now, Peter is revealing to us that we too are priests in a royal priesthood. If that doesn't blow your mind, you're not listening. That's amazing to me. It's mind-boggling. Are we beginning to get a picture of who we are? That we're not mere mortal human beings that walk around pitifully? But we are sons and daughters of the living God. Powerful. New creation. Chosen people. Royal priesthood. But there's more. Oh, so much more. Because we just started scratching the surface. The fourth thing we are is a holy nation. I love this one because God kind of brings us all together. Holy is set apart, sanctified, consecrated, saint. Fundamental idea is separation, consecration, devotion to the service of deity, sharing in God's purity, and abstaining from earth's defilement. We are holy. Now. Not sometime in the future, but now. There's a person who used to go to church here many years ago. They moved away to St. Louis. And I talked about that we're saints, because it's like 52, 62 times in the New Testament, the word saints. And he came up to me afterwards and he says, you're saying I'm a saint right now. I said, yeah. Holy right now. That's what you're saying. You're holy right now. He says, right now I'm holy. I said, Steve, whoops. You don't know him, so it doesn't matter. I said, you're holy. And he says, you know, all I've ever been taught in church is what I must do to become holy. Sad. It's sad. Because we are holy. We don't need anybody to declare us as saints. God's already done that through Christ. If we've accepted him as our personal Savior, we are holy and saints. We are in Christ. And we're part of a nation which Strong's defines as a multitude, a people, a race. We're belonging and living together, distinct from all others. Ezekiel 19:6 says this, "And you shall be to me a kingdom of priests and a holy nation." These are the words that you speak to the people of Israel. Revelation 5:9, that will come from every tribe and language and people and nation. I mean, talk about inclusion. People are running around talking about inclusion. There's no inclusion like Christianity. No unity. We're a holy nation called by God and made holy by God. Fifth, a people for his own possession. Whether we like it or not, if you accepted Jesus as your Savior, you are a person who belongs to God. Not the world, not our society, not our country, not Satan, not our government, not even ourselves. We belong to God. And the people on Strong's is a number of people joined together by the common bonds of society, which is the society of Jesus or the kingdom of God. We are a collection of people who belong to God. He owns us. We're his. We're his possession. A people acquired or purchased to himself in a peculiar, unique manner. Don't you think the cross was a little peculiar? A little unique? Malachi 3:17 in NLT says this, "They will be my people. They will be my people," says the Lord of heaven's armies. "On the day when I act in judgment, they will be my own special treasure." You're a special treasure. "I will spare them as a father spares an obedient child." See, God has been claiming a people for himself, his own people, throughout the ages, through the cross. Looking forward in the Old Testament, looking back in the New, but it all was taken care of in the cross. See, the church is modern day Israel. It's his. We're bought with a price. I like how Simon Kistemaker says it in his commentary. "These people," Christians, us, you, me, "who differ from the nations of the world are his prized possession. They are independent of nationalistic ties because they have a special relationship to God. They belong to God who has bought them with the blood of Jesus Christ." That doesn't mean we don't give unto Caesar what is Caesar's. Jesus was very clear about that. So why is all these four things? So that we proclaim his excellencies, his goodness, his praises, that we go out to the highways and the byways and we declare that once we walked in darkness, but now we walk in the light of Christ. Verbally, but not only verbally, by living our lives as a chosen people, living our lives as a royal priesthood, by living our lives as a holy nation, by living our lives as God's very own possession. By living our lives that we are a new creation and all the other things we'll talk about going into the future. By showing his light in the midst of the darkness of the world, which we can do without condemnation. And the sixth and last one, who we are today, is we are a people without condemnation. Romans 8:1, "So now there is no condemnation for those who belong to Christ Jesus." And that word condemnation in the Strong's means to condemn, a decision against someone, a condemnatory judgment. We don't have that. We're not condemned. We're not. We have been found innocent in the courts of heaven. You know, imagine going to court for something, which unfortunately I had to do. And you stand there before your accusers and before the judge. And in my case, they laid out the drug scene. I had nothing to say. And the judge said guilty. But in the courts of heaven, you went, and Satan was there, the great accuser. And he would have went on for days and days and days accusing you, except the judge said, shut up. And then the judge, being the father, looked over and saw the defense attorney, Jesus, sitting beside you. And he looked at him and he says, innocent. Innocent. My son's blood covered it all. You're innocent. See, we broke every law. It's part of the purpose of the Old Testament. The law in the Old Testament was to show us we couldn't do it, that we needed the blood of a Redeemer, that we needed Jesus so that He would do what He did and say those amazing words, it is finished. And He took care of all our sins, past, present, and future. Doesn't mean we should go out and just sin because they're already taken care of. No. If we're really born again, then we're going to try and sin less. It's like Martin Luther said, the unintentional sins will always be with us, but we should come to a place where intentional sins, we should be winning. We have been freed from the curse of the law because of Christ's actions. We have been freed from sin. What's it saying? Romans 6, we're free. It's amazing. Mind-boggling. I mean, are we beginning to see who we are? That we're this new creation, that we're this holy nation, that we're a chosen race, that we're a possession of the living God and a royal priesthood who is free from condemnation. If the worship team wants to come back. If you don't want to come back anyway. I mean, this is heavy stuff. This is wow and wow and wow. This is but it's who we are, church. It's who we are. We need to stand in front of a mirror and look and say, you're a new creation. You're a holy nation. You're a royal priesthood. You are sons and daughters of the living God. You're God's own possession. That's who you are. But there's a whole boatload more. A whole boatload more. Which by His grace, the Holy Spirit will help us to understand. But not only to understand, but to believe. But not only to believe, but to walk it out. Can you imagine a church that believed? And you know, when I say church, I'm not talking about this great building God has given us, but I'm talking about us. That if we walk out who we really believe, the impact we can make on the world, it'll be amazing. It'll be amazing.